Today's saint is, most of all, I think, the saint of devotion. He's known, perhaps, to us as the saint of devotion to the holy name of Jesus, but really his whole life long was the exercise of devotion. He was devoted to yesterday's saint, Saint Peter Celestine, lived about 150 years after him in Italy, so now we're more like 14th century, and he has the same gospel as Saint Peter had yesterday, begins, Lord, we have left everything for thy sake. What, in effect, what's in it for us? What reward are we going to receive? And St. Peter Celestine appeared to him before he died to tell him that his death was near. It's the courtesy call of one saint to another so that he could prepare himself for a good death. A good death is one of the traditional devotions of the church that does sort of fall into disfavor now. You don't hear or see too much about that anymore, but it's a very useful devotion. Now, Saint Bernardine of Siena, you might say, exemplifies devotion which is both natural and supernatural. So he began his life, was an orphan at the age of six. He began his life with devotion to the sick and devotion to his own family. He was raised by an aunt of his, and later on in life, after his education, he became a church and a civil lawyer. Why he organized during the plague had come to his town, and so he organized, no one else did, a group of other young men to take care of the plague victims. And when that was over, he was sick for a while. As soon as he got better, his aunt, who had taken care of him as a child, got sick. So he left everything for a number of months, about a year and a half, to nurse her. She was blind and crippled until she died. Because you can't be devout to God and ignore the duties of your own state of life or the pressing needs of your neighbor. Then, after prayer, he realized that he needed to join the observant, or the strict branch of the Franciscans in his day, and he marvelously spread that order like another Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. He really promoted it everywhere. But his real life's work, his real life's devotion, you might say, would be to convert his own fellow Italians, and that by means of preaching. He was an unlikely preacher because he had a raspy and a thin voice. He prayed to the Virgin Mary, and the first time he preached, a star appeared over his head. He was preaching on the text from the Apocalypse, I saw a great sign appear in the heavens. And one time as a young man, he went to the sermon of the great preacher who had preceded him, the Dominican, St. Vincent Ferrer, and he said, there's a young man in this church today who is going to be a far greater preacher even than I. He used to style himself the angel of the apocalypse. So it was sort of a continued devotion to popular preaching. He didn't preach the way many priests then, and probably still today, do preach. That is to say, the reading of the text, more or less, you know, obviously quite orthodox and proper, but maybe a little bit on the dry side, and sometimes hard for people to follow or to understand. That was the beauty of his use of devotions, because it appealed to people. It was something to do with their daily life. And same thing with his preaching things. He worked very hard on his sermon. Sometimes, like Bishop Sheeny, would do three or four different copies of a sermon and destroy them. And finally, he would have it down. And he preached in the marketplaces. He effectively preached popular missions from one place to another. And he preached at dawn, when people were stirring, before they went out to their fields or to their place of work or trade. And people would come and hear him, sometimes in the tens of thousands, and everyone could hear his voice. Everyone could follow what he had to say. And because he preached in a simple, very popular style, and the colloquial Italian of his day, he drew these crowds, not to himself, but to Christ. So So he saw these different problems that were coming up, and he dealt with them by means of inspired devotion. Did you ever go to the inner city and you see these, you see somebody spray painted the name of some kind of a gang on a wall, graffiti? Well, that's an Italian word, and from writing, in effect. Well, that kind of territorial marking, because that's what it is, Mexican drug dealers or something in between, I don't know. Well, or a political party, too, for that matter. That was very prevalent in his day, and Italian society was all divided up. Those who favored the emperor, those who favored the pope, and then there were those who, especially in his own native town of Siena, it was neighborhood by neighborhood. There was a great horse race that still takes place today. It's called the Palio in Siena. And it was one neighborhood versus another. You know how people are about, you know, the Bears or something like that, the Green Bay Packers, they all go crazy about that stuff. Well, that so it was in his day, and it became very, very pagan and violent. Violent, very offensive to God. And everybody had a symbol of a different kind of an animal for their neighborhood, for their group. He saw this. He thought, how am I going to circumvent this? He popularized devotion to the holy name of Jesus, the symbol that we still see on vestments and holy pictures, the IHS, which is the abbreviation of Jesus in Greek, capital letters, J-E-S is what it would be in English. And he got people to put that on their wall. Instead, and he would have a big, he'd appreciate a big picture with just the initials of the holy name on it, and then he would pass it out to people. And as he was preaching about all of the popular vices of the day, gambling was something he was down on very, very much. And because of that, he would have bonfires of the vanities. And preachers, Savonarola did that a lot too. Preachers would get people to be converted, and then they would throw dirty books or gambling cards, because they wasted so much time and money gambling, into a bonfire. The ladies would put immodest dress and high heels, interesting. It was death on high heels, too. They would throw them into the bonfire, too. Well, one time a man who made his living printing gambling or playing cards complained to him. He said, "Father," he said, "you're putting me out of work. No one buys my cards anymore." And I'll tell you what he says. He gave him one of his little cards. He said, "You print these, and you'll make a fortune for them yourself." And he did, and he did. Because everybody then became devoted to the holy name of Jesus. Well, not everybody. There were certain of the clergy who were very jealous of him and very suspicious. There's a little bit of a movement today amongst the clergy of those who don't like devotions, who are against devotions, as though it's somehow suspect. Maybe because so many devotions have died out over the period of the changes, or maybe because they prefer just a purely more intellectual, theological approach to our faith. Well, he was twice accused of heresy and of idolatry, and summoned to Rome and put on trial by the Holy Inquisition. And twice he was vindicated for his spreading of devotion to the holy name of Jesus. And then once he was vindicated, he just started preaching, and he stayed in Rome for 80 days in a row, and he preached every day. He said for 18 years of his life, he never passed a single day without preaching, and sometimes for several hours. So he transformed Italian society by means of this popular preaching style and all of these devotions that he promoted. For married men, he promoted devotion to Saint Joseph as the ideal husband, father, and worker. He'd have, as priests used to do in the parish missions of the old days, if you remember, he would have the married women come to church with their daughters to speak to them about the duties of their own state of life. So he touched everybody. He touched economics. In fact, he was he had a great influence in economics. He preached against usury, which of course is the basis of our financial system in America and in the world today. The lending of money at interest, and even very high interest rates, which exclusively was done by the Jews for most of Christian history, because Christians couldn't have usury because it's against the natural law. And as a result of that, Christian banks were set up where money would be provided without these usurious interest rates. So they transformed all of society. But But this he did most of all by means of devotion, his devotion to the people, and his imparting of popular devotions to them to get them to be devout. I've been using devotion in this entire sermon. What does it mean, devotion? It comes from the Latin for to vow yourself over, de vovere. That starts with baptism. I vow myself to the service of Jesus Christ and leave the world, the devil, his works, and his pomps behind. I am devoted. So when I consecrate myself to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I'm renewing what I did in my baptism. I promise that I will devote myself, my thoughts, my energies, my life to God's glory through, with, and in Mary's heart, her hands. That's what devotion truly is. And each one of these other devotions all lead to that same end, to God the Father through Mary, and Mary to Jesus. And then, of course, right alongside of them is good, very powerful Saint Joseph. All of the beautiful devotions that we have, the devotion to the Holy Name, the devotion to the Holy Face, are as so many helps or assistances that Almighty God gives to us so that something with us in our life, our experience, our needs will click and we'll see, oh yes, I can do this. It's not a dry theological truth that's out there someplace. It's something I can lay hold of and practice in my own life. That was the genius of Bernardino Siena. And even though a life in his day already was really going downhill, Christian society was becoming more and more paganized and eventually ended up in the Renaissance and the Protestant Revolt and all the rest. Nevertheless, he saved so many souls. And he gave us, you might say, most of all, a hook, something to hang on to when the going is tough, to keep all the principles of our Christian life in order. What's that? It's the practice of our devotions. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.